This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
Hey, when the hell are you going to get a haircut?
Well, whenever you do. Look, who's got time? I was up till 3 a.m. checking the search patterns.
Uh-huh. Well, put in for overtime.
Hmm. That'll be the day.
My levels seem really low. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 50. We're mining the depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson. With me today is Brian Hot Mary Dunaway.
It's not breaking and entering if you climb over the fence.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Too much linguine.
He still entered, though, right?
Yeah, he did. That's exactly what I was thinking. He's like, can't
do the lock because that's breaking and entering. Oh, just climb over the fence. That's not breaking and entering.
I'll just climb right over, punk.
Whatever. Look at my hair. It's beautiful.
Also, I use great hairspray.
Love the guy who was had too much linguine to come over the
Yeah, that's true. He blamed it on linguine.
That's my new excuse for everything. Too much linguine.
Randy Pie Hanker Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Yes. Brian. Yes. Good to be here with you. Did you know that I used to work as a police inspector in San Francisco? You would not believe how many nights we just sat on the tops of buildings with binoculars, looking through people's windows. Best job ever.
Well said. And also with us finally, Brian Scorpio Ibbett.
So why do they call you Dirty Harry?
Well, it's because I'm kind of sloppy with all my red paint. I get it all over everything.
That was horrible blood everywhere, man. That was...
It's both dirty and hairy. And pre-show, Randy was discussing this issue that I seem to have with spelling Harry, H-A-I-R-Y, without even thinking about it. And I can't really explain my problem, but he's both dirty and hairy, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. And it is Dirty Harry.
Very hairy.
Yeah, he is. That's the movie, Dirty Harry, old movie, 1971. Scott Fletcher has probably something to say about it. He usually does. Oh, I don't know. Maybe this...
Dirty Harry. When a madman dubbed the Scorpio Killer terrorizes San Francisco, hard-boiled cop Harry Callahan, played by Clint Eastwood, famous for his take-no-prisoners approach to law enforcement, is tasked with hunting down the psychopath. Harry eventually collars Scorpio in the process of rescuing a kidnapped victim. Now, the maverick detective is determined to nail the maniac himself.
What?
Ooh, no.
Dirty Harry playing, not playing by the rules. So I thought, real quick, I thought I'd seen this movie before. You guys probably have.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Really?
This is my first viewing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Really? I thought I'd seen it, but what I had seen, it was the 1988 fifth movie that he did as Dirty Harry. And I didn't realize it. I thought that was the only Dirty Harry. And it's a good thing it wasn't, because that one in 88 was kind of garbage.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the others in between, but I basically now had the Dirty Harry sandwich, which if you look up that on Urban Dictionary, be careful.
Now, which one did you say you saw? Because there was the Deadpool.
Deadpool?
The Deadpool is actually pretty good. I didn't even realize that was a Dirty Harry movie.
Well, that's
an impact.
That's the thing, is they changed the names are actually not Dirty Harry in the titles, except for the first one. So you never really know you're getting a Dirty Harry movie.
Yeah.
Because they're like, for example, this one was originally going to be called something else, but they went ahead and called it Dirty Harry. And then later, hold on, trying to find it here. He called one of them. Oh,
Dirty Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
No, it was called Magnum Force was the next one.
Yeah.
No Dirty Harry name in it other than the character.
Nope.
Then the next one would have been...
The Enforcer.
The Enforcer, thank you. And then the 88 one would have been the Deadpool, so you're correct.
And you also missed Sudden Impact.
Oh.
But not that one.
Oh, he was...
Not the other Sudden Impact.
Yet. So he was Inspector Dirty Harry Callahan and everything, but in this one, in Sudden Impact, he was Harry Callahan. Wasn't that the movie with the big meteorite and the tidal waves and stuff? What am I thinking of?
No, that's not it.
Deep Impact.
I knew you would think that. That's the reason why I said that's
Sudden Impact. No. Deep Impact.
That's it. Yeah. Anyway.
And you know, you can actually think of the 93 film In the Line of Fire as a Dirty Harry film. He plays a character of a different name, but it's just like Dirty Harry is the eldest Secret Serviceman.
Kind of.
Old Dirty Harry.
I think you could almost call Gran Torino a Dirty Harry movie in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like the retirement. Yeah.
Yeah, like Death of Dirty Harry. Oh, spoiler. But anyway, yeah, Dirty Harry 5, the Walt Kowalski character, Gran Torino version. That's definitely a Dirty Harry movie. I think you can call most of his Westerns Dirty Harry movies. Right?
He's playing himself, and he does it very well. But yeah, I thought I had a little bit deeper character in this one than in some of the other ones.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I like this.
So 1971, I was a year old. No, excuse me, almost two when this came out. So I don't remember it.
You're old.
I am old. Ibbet, you are also old. Stand yes, with me.
I was two when this came out too. Yes. Heck, this is the first color movie I think I saw.
I remember it because of the really bright red blood.
Mm. That's right, but they charged so much for popcorn.
Don Siegel, the director of the film, born 1912, died 1991, was famous for other films like Escape from Alcatraz, also with Clint Eastwood. Great movie, by the way. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The Shootist. Remember the Shootist?
I always love that name, The Shootist.
Yeah.
I like to add ist to everything I do. We're the podcastist.
Yeah, we're the podcastist. I'm kind of a fan of his work. Like, a lot of his movies ring interesting and cool to me, and was surprised to see his name on this because I didn't know he had anything to do with it. He did not direct, however, I'm not sure about all of them, but I don't think he did the other. I know he didn't do the 88 Dirty Harry because he would have been like 100 years old by then. But something like that. But anyway, so a first viewing for all of us except Brian.
Yeah.
What's your
deal? I saw it on TV, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah. Because this movie had a lot of stuff you couldn't show on TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Surprising for 71, don't you think?
Some stuff I did not want to see.
Like Happy Mary.
Some hairy bushes.
Wow.
I'm serious. It was almost a lot of the nudity was almost so clinical that I was almost not really afraid to let my kids see it. It's like it was disturbing.
Yeah.
In some scenes, but there was nothing ever.
It was not super sexual or anything.
No, it was not sexual in any way.
Except maybe the hippie girl was kind of.
But she's like, oh, I've got company coming over. I better strip down to.
That was funny because she comes out. Okay, you haven't seen it if you have. But anyway, there's a lady and Clint Eastwood was watching with his binoculars from the rooftops, like Randy was talking about earlier. And she comes into view and she's wearing like black bra and panties. And she makes
boots.
And she makes this look on her face like, oh, I forgot something. And we're all thinking, oh, she forgot clothes. Silly woman. So she leaves the room and she comes back. She's totally naked. And then she goes and answers the door. And I'm like, what's going on here?
Dude, it was the 70s, man. Sexual revolution.
It's weird. Yeah, but you only got to see her. You only got to see her extreme bush for like half a second.
Yeah.
But it was pretty.
Less than was in the original film. Apparently all of the home view cuts of this film have cut a few, like 2 seconds off of that scene.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
It was pretty brief.
Very brief, which was good.
It's good for the time because there was a different idea of
what's attractive.
In that scene, he and his temporary partner are on a rooftop and they're trying to see the killer, and he's busy staring through his binoculars into this woman's window, and any man would. Mm-hmm. And
From Blue Thunder.
Yeah, Blue Thunder.
she comes out naked and he says to himself in a whisper, you owe it to yourself to live a little, Harry.
Yeah. I expected his partner to go, I'm sitting right
here. It took me a long time to decipher that because it sounded like he was talking to someone named Little Harry.
That's exactly the same thing I thought. I literally was like, did he just say little? I did rewind it. I rewound it because I thought the same thing too. You got to satisfy yourself, Little Harry, is what I was hearing in my head.
Yeah,
so,
And nobody, and that
owe it to yourself to live a little Harry.
That the temporary partner would have none of that. And he acted like he had no idea that Harry's being all distracted. And they almost didn't catch the killer because he didn't see. Because he's too busy. Right. He's too busy blue thundering that girl in the window.
Blue thundering. I love that.
Again, not a euphemism.
Not at all. So, of course, Clint Eastwood, Harry Gerdino, John Vernon, the return of Dean Wormer.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Love Dean Wormer. Haven't seen him since Killer Clowns from Outer Space on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Robinson, most famous for this at the time.
Everything.
Well, he played the Scorpio Killer, this Charles Davis character. But he is most famous to a lot of nerds out there for being in Deep Space Nine. He played the character of Garrick.
Yeah.
The Cardassian tailor, almost said barber.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tailor, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting character in the history of Star Trek stuff.
This guy, Andrew Robinson, I mean, just talk about him for a second. In the movie, you think he's just, he plays an absolute psycho. Mm-hmm. And, but I mean, if you go through his career, man, I mean, he has been on every TV show for since this movie. I mean, he has been for how many years now? How old are you, Scott?
He's a busy dude.
40-something years?
Jeez. I mean, thanks a lot. He looked pretty young in this, you know, and the only other time I'd really seen him was in Cardassian makeup.
Yeah. And so, like, he's been like every freaking TV show you can think of since, I mean, Barnaby Jones, I mean, The Incredible Hulk, anything that was a running Falcon Crest, he was in Hellraiser, which is not a movie, but I mean a TV show, but still. But he's just been in like everything.
You know what would be a great parody show? A great parody TV show?
What's that?
Meet the Kardashians.
Ah.
And it would be a riff on those stupid Kardashian girls.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Interesting.
Sick of hearing about. That'd be fun. Anyway.
Hey, Mom, I left the lights on again. How many lights are there?
Love it. Cisco's going to destroy this station. Anyway,
but instead it's the rapper Cisco, right?
That's right. What I meant. No, I meant the router manufacturer. I don't know what you're talking about.
I meant the food services company.
This movie, let's see, after it was released, Andrew Robinson received several death threats and had to have an unlisted phone number because people really thought he did a good job.
Really, I think, bought into it, yeah.
You know, I think that 38 years of retrospect has kind of changed that. Like, I think he was kind of ridiculous in the movie.
He was horrible.
You think it was over the top? Really, you think he was horrible? I think he
horrible.
Was... I think I he played horrible. It spot on.
You think so?
I think
maybe
it was,
for the
I
time. It was, I don't know. It came off to me as just, hey, act crazy. Okay, ready and rolling. I'm crazy. Cut. Good job.
But he really, I mean, if you've ever met anybody who is mentally disturbed, he really acted like people I have met who are mentally disturbed. I mean...
It seemed
really authentic.
Did the people you've met who are mentally disturbed make you sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat?
Hells yeah.
Troll 2 style.
Haven't you ever seen Dante's Peak?
Well, one of the emails I got over during the week, we all got from Ibbot, was Brian's like, what is it with movies and the Row, Row, Row Your Boat thing? And he's right. Like, this is even worse than it was in Troll 2, but it's just like under duress, like, making us sing this terrible
sing
thing.
Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
It is the song no kid wants to sing, but parents are always forcing them. It's very scarring situation.
Yeah.
This guy wanted to be a serial killer, and successful serial killers in real life, they're definitely psychotic, but they're not goofy crazy.
Right. Well,
that's never the case.
I mean, this guy is totally unpredictable. I mean,
really?
Seems
like they pretty much is either going to be on this roof or that roof.
We'll go right? He's like, I'm either going to kill a priest or the mayor. I can't say that word.
Well, that's right. He does that, and that's one of the things I thought was funny about the movie because it was unpredictable. Because like he did say, I'm going to kill a priest or I'm going to kill a black person.
Yeah.
Except he didn't use that word, and they didn't read it during one part of the movie, but they said it plenty of times the rest of the movie. But anyway,
that was weird.
That was odd.
The movie is so racially insensitive, period. Like, it's just like, oh, what a different time 1971 was.
Oh, yeah.
Racially homosexuality.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Insensitive, or I'm not sure what the word that I'm looking for is, but.
Gender. Sexual.
Sexual lifestyle.
Orientation.
Insensitive.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's just some bigotry floating around on the screen. Yes.
But the thing is like, they put it right at the front and said, this is the people you're dealing with. These are the people. This is true of what these people are thinking. So to me, it was kind of like they weren't playing it like we're trying to slip something past you or we're trying to make a hate film. It was kind of like, this is what it's really like in these situations for mm-hmm. these people. So I didn't feel like it was, it didn't feel really offensive to me because they even said it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's dirty. You know,
yeah, I mean, they go so far as to say 1.1 guy is rattling off all of the derogatory terms for every single
everybody's included.
I wonder if I have that clip. I believe I do.
I can almost guarantee.
Yeah, I pretty much promise that I do. It's interesting that the some of the trivia claims that Frank Sinatra was originally was going to be cast as this character.
Wow, I am so glad that.
Yeah, it seems like a bad idea. Seems like a bad idea. He claims two things. And this was 8 years previous, so keep in mind this is a much younger, you know, looking Frank Sinatra. It's back in his, you know, just post Rat Pack days, early Rat Pack days.
Yeah.
In 62. And he said, during contact negotiations, he found two problems. One, his dad died pretty recently. Mm-hmm. The other was that he found the large handgun too unwieldy. Now, I don't know if I believe the internet. I don't know if I believe the internet here. I'm just saying that that's what it says.
I don't buy that either. That is one big gun.
Yeah,
he carries a magnum.
If I was Frank Sinatra and I was trying to get rid of a particular sort of belief about myself, you know, I wouldn't play this character. This is a wife beater who, you know, he's very, very unwashed, basically. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Unwashed.
So
Harry.
I totally get it. If you've never seen any of these movies, by the way, and you want a perfect replication of Dirty Harry, just look at anything Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman and the way this character is dressed and portrayed, it's weird.
It's funny.
There were
even
times where I forgot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know what? Reboot, dude. I could see Hugh Jackman in a new Dirty Harry movie.
That'd be freaking awesome.
Yeah. That's a great casting pick. I was thinking about this last night. I was going, oh, who could be Dirty Harry now? You know, Tarantino could direct, and who would they get? And I couldn't think of a soul who I thought could maybe do this, but you're dead on right about that. There's so much about those two actors look like each other anyway, but
it needs something more to be a reboot though, because just the idea of a cop that doesn't play by the rules, very, you know, controversial in 1971, not so much. We've seen it so much in film that it wouldn't be as shocking unless there was some other thing about it.
Well, he'd have to go full bad lieutenant style bad now.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be shocking otherwise. Sorry.
I felt like this movie was, it felt very independent film movie. I mean, it didn't feel like a Hollywood movie to me, and that's what I loved about it.
Mm. I liked
even though it was very successfully commercially.
You know, it was a little slow, but I liked it.
I have to disagree with that. One of the things I said while watching the movie was, well, it's 40 years old. We are now at the first time in the history of film when you can, in real time, watch a movie that's 40 years old and it doesn't feel old. Well, you know, before now, if you were in 1995 and you watched a 40-year-old movie, you were watching a movie from the mid-50s, and it would have looked old to you. And we have now gotten to the point where this really, I mean, if Quentin Tarantino had directed this, you know, as a throwback look film, you really couldn't have told me much of a difference. I mean, it's just people had long hair. That's about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of that the Life on Mars style. From the TV show that was like last season, last year, but had that same film feel to it where, you know, you'd have a hard time differentiating the two.
But you're totally right. There's been a compression of time over the last 40 years where stuff just doesn't seem as
ages
ancient.
Fast.
Yeah, because when I mean, in the 80s, and you said, well, let's, you know, when I was a teenager, let's look at something from the 50s. That was just eons ago. You know, that was a lifetime ago. Or more than that. That was multiple lifetimes ago. That was a history thing. It wasn't anything that you could even relate to. There's something about 70s through now where stuff just kind of didn't change it. It's like video games. Like the next generation of consoles, we're kind of going to go, oh, okay, well, that looks a little better than the 360 did. You know, it's not going to be this great big leap between generations. It's kind of a weird comparison with games, but it's the same idea. We're just not going to see, like, I watch a lot of 90s movies. I can't tell the difference between those and something that came out a week ago.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, it's a, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could watch The Matrix right now. That movie is...
Yeah, you totally could watch The Matrix right
11,
now.
Excuse me, almost 12 years old.
Yeah.
And that 12 years old is a whole lot different than 1980 to 1970 old.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. That decade is just doesn't show that much of a change. So, anyway.
No. And the acting you can relate to. I mean, you can... It's not like when we're watching The Fly, the first one. I mean, the acting you can relate to, and you can still see cops kind of undergoing the same type of situation even today. So the story was just well written.
Yeah, and, I thought it was good.
I just got to say one more thing about it before we move on to the nitpicky stuff. The cinematography in this movie was just brilliant. I mean,
I agree.
Was just the composition and the shots. I mean, it was just fantastic. And there's one scene in the movie where he's actually caught the serial killer, Scorpio. And they're on the football field, and they pan away. Obviously, it has to be a helicopter; it's too big for a crane shot. I mean, it's just and as they get further away, it starts to fog in.
Yeah,
and I don't know if they just got super lucky or if there was some way that
San Francisco. Like, you know?
Yeah, it's just so much smog or what. But yeah, I mean, it was just it looked like something that you would see. Computer generated. I mean, it really did.
I think
to get that shot was so perfect.
I think Don Siegel, the director, I think he was visionary in that way. He did stuff that informed later generations, and you see movies and stuff now where they take a lot of cues from the guy. He wasn't super fond of the 70s zoom, you know, thing like everybody else was. And he did a lot of tricks and stuff that makes it even seem more modern. So Randy was saying it seems like not that old of a movie. It's also partly because we just see his style. You know, it influenced a lot of directors, I think.
There's a shot of Scorpio on a rooftop with a sniper rifle. And the shot is taken by setting the camera down so that it is looking from the tip of the barrel down the barrel at him. And it looks, I mean, that gun is in your face. And it's a really long gun.
Yeah.
And that shot, I just hit pause and I was like, this is amazing. What a beautiful
shot.
Angle. Yeah. And there's another one later that's kind of like that. It's this real iconic shot of him standing on a bridge.
It almost gives you chills when you see him on that bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of thing, that comes from pure artisan cinematography. That's not an accident to get those shots.
Those are all great until you hear Scorpio say stuff. And then I go, it's just a little too.
All
on
I can
fire.
Say is I'll beat you up for free. How about that?
Frank Sinatra turned down the role. I mentioned that. Marlon Brando turned it down. Paul Newman turned it down. But Paul Newman said, but hey, while you're looking, why don't you hire Clint Eastwood? He's cool. I just did this other thing with him. And that's how I got hired. Clint and Siegel eventually became like the two guys that made the thing happen. And they worked together a bunch afterwards. So that's good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Irving Kirshner, who just died. The director of Empire Strikes Back was supposed to be the director when Frank Sinatra was signed on. It's just interesting that we kind of had a near miss with that in this movie, and he just passed away. Like what? A week and four days ago or something.
2 days ago. No, 2 days ago.
A week and 2 days.
Has it been that quick?
It'd be a week and 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
because this movie.
No, it was
2 days.
Yeah, because this show is happening.
Oh yes, you're right.
you're right, Randy.
Time shift.
I know it seems like just yesterday, but wow, it's been
James Caan was a month. James Caan was under the was going to be in the role of Scorpio. That could have been interesting.
That would have been pretty neat.
Yeah. And apparently, this movie, according to the trivia, again inspired the development of the hit drama series, The Streets of San Francisco in 1972. Because San Francisco was not often portrayed in movies and stuff like that for cop type dramas.
Yeah.
I thought this is my only problem. If this is the cinematography, fine or whatever, but cinematography.
almost like cinematography, which is also delicious.
It's delicious. Yeah. It is a really ugly city in this film.
Yeah.
I have to disagree with you. Okay. I love going to San Francisco, and I love spending time touring around that city because I think it's a beautiful city. And I thought it looked great in this movie because all these big buildings that have been that were built in the late 70s and early 80s aren't there yet.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed just staring at San Francisco in this movie.
Really? Mm-hmm. I thought it looked dusty, dirty, LA, New York, ugly, blah. Just kind of, but maybe that's a 70s thing, and I'm willing to admit that.
Yeah.
The whole movie is supposed to look gray. Dusty.
Yeah, it's very gray and dusty.
Dirty city.
That's intentional. Dirty.
Dirty city, dirty Harry.
Yep.
Dirty.
The whole thing made me feel filthy, and I go take a bath.
You should do that more often, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's
and take a shave.
Mm. So here's a question for you. Did we ever truly call American detectives inspector? When did that happen? Did that ever happen?
Yes. Yes.
Where? Yeah.
Still to this day, in many places.
Hmm. Is that a San Francisco thing specifically? Like one of the places that do and still do?
No. Still no, still a common title.
Yeah. And it's a title if you're an inspector, not just a you know, a policeman or a detective or things like that. It's, you know, you're an inspector.
Because I knew that was big in like Britain. Like
everyone's
inspector so-and-so in Britain, but I had no idea that that terminology applied.
They don't, they don't portray that in movies very much. And I was the same way. I was like, inspector, that sounds kind of odd.
Yeah.
And every time he would report in, he would say, what was his call number? Do you remember? Inspector?
2211, something like that.
Yeah, but that was on his badge, but it wasn't that when he was saying it because he kept saying something like, 790 or something. What the crap was it? I forget.
Mm. I forget too.
But it wasn't the same.
I have an alternate title for the film though.
Inspector Harry?
No, it should have been. It should have been Harry's Run, because for the full third of the movie, he ran all night in a three-piece suit.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah.
Which was really good. I really liked the foot chases. The foot chases were actually very fun to watch.
Yeah. That was okay. I mean, it just seemed like he was running around.
Car chases hadn't been really invented yet. it was more of the foot chases, and that's what really dates this movie more than anything, especially that and the fact there were almost no compact cars. Everything was full-size cars in this movie.
Big cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is big cars. This was before the 70s gas shortage.
Yeah, that's
crisis,
true. French Connection came out that same year. And that must have not been fair. I mean, because one of the greatest car chases in the history of film is out there, and all these other movies trying to be action movies are probably going, oh man, it's like science.
Yeah, why didn't we think of that? Cars.
It's like science fiction in 70, you know, late 70s when Star Wars comes out. Oh man, what the hell are we making? I mean, it must have just been a shift for people. I love that movie, by the way. French Connection, so good. Mm-hmm. It's got Lex Luthor in it from last week.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, what else? Oh, look what we have here. Hold on, I got to be better prepared. We have one of these trope. We found a trope: the final battle in an abandoned old structure of some sort.
Oh yeah,
always happens in movies.
Well, and there's multiple battles like this in this movie. Like the final battle is actually, I mean, if you think about it, it's just kind of at a quarry.
Mm. Yeah,
but before that, my gosh, they'd love to get around town. All these different buildings.
And that was what was weird about this too. It's like in a more modern movie, you would see, you know, there'd be like a whole cavalcade of backups waiting in the lurch, waiting to pop up when the hero gets to a certain point. In this one, you never had that. It was just like, okay, you try to get him, and he keeps getting freaking away, and it's pissing you off. You're like,
Exactly. It's like, all right, station a few guys at the bottoms of these buildings so that when you see him on the rooftop, you know,
he's
going down the stair. Great. Everybody go to this building. It's going to take you less time to get there than it is for him to go down the stairwell.
That is explained a little bit. They finally just get him off the case entirely, you know, so that's a really common trope, right? Yeah. We can't trust you. You're off the case. Well, no, I'm still on the case.
I'll do it for free.
Right. I just don't have
my badge.
Well, he literally gives the world his badge at the end, and I'm a little bit confused about that. And having not seen the sequel, I don't know how that gets resolved. But
he swims in the river and he gets his badge. I guess is just stolen.
But if
that's how he gets clean.
But I guess
I like the idea that he's going rogue. Oh, I like, right. You know, like that's it. If I can't do it working for the man, I'm working for me, you know?
Right. That I like, but I guess I'm wondering what I'm not feeling the impact of why he would suddenly feel like, all right, it's time to get rid of this badge. Like, the stuff that the bad guy did and what he had to do to take him down didn't seem so life-altering that he had to throw his badge in the water.
Well, I think this was a shift. I think we see what was happening in this country, and they really addressed it here in this movie, and that's the fact that the law had become so polluted that someone like Dirty Harry, who cleans up all the little messes, was just futile. I mean, there's just nothing you could do about it.
But the fact is, he's taken off the case for a perfectly valid reason. It's not a good reason, but I mean, he really actually did sort of make it impossible for Scorpio to get convicted. So we don't want you doing that again, Harry.
Yeah, in this day and age, we can totally understand that. In this day and age, we're kind of like, it's been pounding our head so much. But I mean, during the early 70s, this seemed like that's like a travesty to think that, someone could be killing somebody and then get off the hook just because. What I mean? Just because.
Do you think he chucked it then because he just wasted this dude and he knew it was going to blow back and be terrible?
I didn't think he thought about that at all. I think he was just.
No, that's a good point, Scott.
Yeah.
That does really add some sentiment to what he did at the end. That's a really good point.
But that's what I'm trying to find here is because otherwise I don't understand the motivation other than this. I hope it's just not the easy thing, which is, he's pissed and he's had it. Flee.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe.
I don't think it's that. Like I said, I think it's the end of an age. And he's like, okay, this just doesn't work anymore. All right. That's what I felt.
Right. I can't defend the city the way I want to defend it. I'm just not going to be, do it their way anymore.
Yep. I'm going to sink my badge.
Brilliant. You hear the plop.
Brilliant. Yep. Did any of your dads call making out necking when you were younger? Want to get this out of the way.
Yes. Really? Mine did.
Mine did all the time.
Confused me as to what I was supposed to do with the girl.
Yeah, I know. So,
he's just supposed to rub necks? What?
I watched Animal Planet. I've seen the giraffes do it all the time.
Weird. There was no Animal Planet in 1987. But my dad would say, are you going to that dance? Yeah. All right. No necking after. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, Dad.
Sure. Whatever.
No heavy petting is what he meant to say.
Exactly.
Brilliant. So
heavy petting, I've heard that before, and that always confused me.
Which my dad called wasting,
Wasting.
Hipping. Wasting. No hipping.
Hipping.
Well, we were always told not to be taking anything. Y'all have fun, but don't take anything.
Don't take anything. What, like virginity?
Don't take anything like my bag.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. Pretty much what it was.
It apparently stuck.
Yeah. Yes.
Weird.
Don't take anything.
I have never heard that before.
Yeah, don't take anything.
Right. I always say no nudity to my kids.
No nudity. Yeah. No nakedity out there, kids.
Yeah. Taylor,
be safe.
She say, "All right, I'm on this date. I'll be home by 11. All right, we'll see you then. Or be careful." She says, "I will, Dad." And I say, "And no nudity, Dad." Like every time,
no boobies. I mean it.
I figure as goofy as I make it, the harder it will be for them to make a straight face when that boy gets a little too hot and heavy one night.
Right, and then when things go too far, they're going to hear your voice in their head. And
exactly. You're on to me. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Anyway. Don't be touching any penises.
Whoa, that'll stop them. That'll stop them.
That'll be the end of that.
No touching the male reproductive organs. Hey, guys, quick mention about our friends at Audible.com. I love Audible. And I love them so much that I checked them out and found out they have Full Dark, No Stars, the new Stephen King collection of short stories. I think there's four. I haven't read them yet, but I'm totally excited to it. These are narrated by Craig Wasson and Jessica Haecht. However you say her name. Regular price, $31.93 on Audible. It's only $7.49. Or you can get it for free, by going to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. It's a free book. We love our friends at Audible. They have so much on here, not just this book, but many, many more. Film sackers are bound to find something they love at audible.com. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack for your free audiobook today. All right. We are going to play clips, and the clips we're going to play are from Dirty Harry.
Oh, good.
The very first clip is, let's see. I almost played a Superman clip. Let's play one when Harry met Mayor Wormer is the name of this clip. Check it out.
Mayor, Inspector Callahan. All right, let's have it.
Have what?
Your report. What have you been doing?
Oh, well, for the past 3/4 of an hour, I've been sitting on my ass in your outer office.
Damn it all, Harry. That's the mayor you're talking to.
Okay, what I love about Dirty Harry is that he says these things. It's the my favorite part of the character. I wish they'd take it further. Like, I think he should be snarkier and more pissed and stuff. And at the time, I guess this was really, you know, kind of not groundbreaking, but it was like, whoa, he really is the toughest nail in the block or whatever. That's not a saying, so I'll make it up.
I love it when Scott looks for a simile cliche.
Toughest nail in the big box of nails.
Box of nails. didn't somebody say that there was a saying in the movie, though, where they said, if was it Dirty Harry? They said if Dirty Harry ate a box of nails, he'd shit a hammer or something like that.
That's funny.
I'll
tell you though, John Vernon, I thought, did a great job.
Yeah, he's playing the heavy. It's always great.
Yeah, he's always good, but I mean, I just think he knocked it out of the park. I mean, it just felt right. He wasn't. I mean, he could have easily been the crazy police chief, kind of off the handle kind of guy, but he just played it so cool. He knew how to control Harry.
Yeah.
And here's an actor who knows that he's never going to play the romantic lead in a film.
Yeah.
And so might as well just do the best work he can as the badass.
The mayor you hate, the dean you hate, the chief of the police you hate.
Exactly.
That guy had a real run of stuff in his career. I like him a lot. I really do. I think he's great. All right. Here's another line from Dirty Harry where he's being snarky to the dude. Oh, this is great because it's kind of harsh. Wow,
the dude is in this film?
Excellent.
Jeff Bridges.
He really does abide.
this is him talking to the mayor again, and they're talking about a case that happened. It's I don't know. I just thought his response was pretty funny and kind of gross, but here it is.
Well, when an adult male is chasing a female with intent to commit rape, I shoot the bastard. That's my policy.
Intent? How did you establish that?
Well, a naked man is chasing a woman through an alley with a butcher knife and a hard on. I figure he isn't out collecting for the Red Cross.
Yeah.
That was a great line.
I knew you were going to capture that clip.
That was a great line.
Yeah.
Well, it referenced a wiener, so.
It did have the wiener reference in it. Had to get it.
Had to capture that. Here he's commanded to get a haircut, or he's asked why he hasn't had one yet. And I got to say, just real briefly here, he had some pretty epic hair.
And it was beautiful because the wind was constantly blowing. I mean, in this movie, constantly. And
he was
just
young.
Always just
he was like
blowing.
38, 39, something like that
yeah.
at the time. I think Clint Eastwood looks great now. Trust me. I think that guy holds it. Like he looks great all the time. But I don't know. For the time with that cool, you know, tweed suit and all that stuff, he looked great.
Yeah.
He looked good.
But here he's asked to get a haircut.
Hey, when the hell are you going to get a haircut?
Well, whenever you do. Look, who's got time? 3 a.m. checking the search patterns.
Uh-huh. Well, put in for overtime.
That'll be the day.
Ah. Trope.
Yeah.
Trope.
I love the fact that his reason for having long hair is not he's a hippie. It's because he just doesn't have time.
Yeah.
That's how much he works.
Yeah, but he does have some great hairspray, doesn't he?
Oh, awesome. As White Rain or something. Yeah, he
White Rain. Oh, my God.
Remember that stuff? My sisters had that by the case, I swear, in the 80s. But. He's just, I don't know. I like the whole, that trope of, that'll be the day, overtime, freaking the rough cop day, blah.
Not while they're out, the perps are out there waiting to be caught.
The perps. Perps are great. It's a great shortening of a word. I love perp.
Yeah,
that's one of perp. The best.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm trying to think of another one like con, you know, for convict.
Or pig for cop. I like perp.
Apparently all the great shortenings are happening in cop movies.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah,
that's true.
We just learned something.
You there. Yes, you. Okay, this is an important clip because I'm trying to figure out if this standard procedure for helicopter cops all over the country, this is how they talk to people they spy on top of a roof.
With a big gun.
Here it is.
You there. Yes, you. Stop what you're doing. Turn around and put your hands in the air.
You. Yes, you.
Me?
What? Yes, you, Brian.
Stand still, laddie.
Yes, you. Stupid. All right. Now, this is my something I captured specifically for our friend Brian Ibbett, because Brian Ibbett's the music guy, loves the music. Mm-hmm. What do you classify this as?
I remember that.
So does that have a name? Is that just hepcap music? Is it
flute? That's just flute jazz.
That's right, exactly. That's the kind of noise that you always hear when you see a couple of gay guys walking through the park eating ice cream. And the music stops when they go behind a tree, and it starts back up when you see him again.
Man, he got so angry when they went behind the tree, man. I mean, he was really, really pissed.
Yeah, that's when I knew that guy was the way to stop him was just to get him so mad that he imploded. Just kind of what happened. I just love that kind of hepcap stuff. Hepcat, like
I love how that style of music is lampooned in Anchorman. Totally. You remember that scene?
Yeah,
totally. Where Will Ferrell goes nuts playing the jazz flute.
Yep.
Oh man,
there is so much spit in those jazz flutes, man. It's just so much.
It's funny. Just that's the first thing you think.
You got a guy in the end going.
That's why I could never be in band as a kid. All the wind instrument kids had these disgusting reeds they'd have to take out and clean all the time. Ugh.
Oh, I love those.
Gross, freckly faced kid with his, my reed's got too much spit in it. I'm like, dude, you can get away from me.
You know what tastes delicious?
What?
Reed wax.
Oh. Is it?
I used to play a saxophone.
Oh, you're one of those
kids.
So you're
talking to one of those guys.
Yeah. Wow. Because you're always having to lick them and spit on them and do weird stuff.
Yeah, you
have
to lick them every time you start, but you'd get that reed wax in there. If not, you would get one of those splinters in your tongue. Not good.
That's foul. That's foul.
I mean, it's no different than eating, you know, those ice creams they used to sell, and I suppose they still do. They used to come in little cups with the wooden spoon.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't stand to eat those things for some reason, man. Mm-hmm. Something about eating off a wooden spoon like that just freaks me out.
That's what bugs you, really.
That's what bugs me. That's what does it for me.
Oh.
Those little wooden spoons.
That doesn't even, I've never even thought that it was possible for a person to dislike that, much less.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't like them either. It's
why
like,
would you lick wood? Who does that?
It's like eating off of chopsticks that you haven't rubbed together and gotten any stray
splinters off, dude. Ugh, that is kind of gross. What's grosser is I had a friend in high school who worked at KFC. Did I ever tell the story? I think I did on ELR. I had a friend that worked at KFC who had a habit of putting chicken legs up his butt and then putting it in the bucket and selling it. I'm not kidding. Hold on. I'm sorry. It wouldn't be breaded. It wouldn't be breaded. He would take the raw chicken, jam this thing up his rump. Pull it out, bread it,
inserting it into his body.
Yeah, into his bum.
Oh my God.
Rectal insertion of chicken, KFD. And he would take that thing out.
This story so much.
Oh wait, it gets better. I got one too.
Uh-oh. Okay, go. Now's the time.
You have a chicken up the butt story?
No.
Something that common?
Don't ruin Taco Bell for me, Brian.
No. This is also a KFC story. This is back when they used to serve hush puppies. And I had a friend who would used to hawk loogies into the hush puppy mix and would mix it up. So you would occasionally get a gooey hush puppy. I never did because I wouldn't eat them.
Foul. I had a non-English speaking friend that worked at Chi Chi's with me that, in a fit of rage at his manager, pooped in the beans on his last day.
Pooped in the beans.
Oh my God!
That's great.
That's a crumb.
Does this have
Scott?
Hamburger meat in it?
Look, I don't eat out. When I eat out, I am very picky because I've seen some stuff. I've been on the front line.
You've seen some stuff that you got to call 911 for.
We did. They actually did. They shut us down, and it was a big freak out. The guy got arrested. But he literally, he was like, all right, I'm pissed. Esta aquí, whatever. And he went over to the other side of the room, took the lid off the big, because they kept the beans, these refried beans, in big Rubbermaid cans. And he would take the lid off this, you know, otherwise sterile can, got up on top of it like some kind of freak, and took a dump in the beans.
You know what's great?
What?
Maybe I poop too much, but I'm never like at the ready with a poop. But I always admire people who
are pull it out on demand.
Yeah, or at the ready.
This is my thing with Dave Englund from the Jackass crew. They always have him they have him go in a hardware store and take a poop.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's thing. That my thing with him is that's real because he has to save it up.
Yeah,
he has to really he's gone for days without pooping in order to get this. They got one take for this sucker. He's gonna get it, you know. And that's real. That's how I feel. I feel like if I had to poop on demand, I need days to get ready. I may need
planning.
Hold on, I've got to pay a piece of paper out so I can count how many emails I get from this episode. Because it always, this sort of thing always gets it in.
I hope nobody's eating. And if they are, I apologize.
I hope you're not eating KFC.
I really hope they're eating KFC.
Yeah, if you're eating a bucket from the Colonel right now, I'm just telling you, be warned. Be careful.
I wonder when
still doesn't sound as bad as the double down. So
that's true.
Yeah, either way, dude. All of this is nothing compared to the double down.
The reason pulling an upper decker at the house of somebody that you don't like is so justifiable, like, I'm sorry, it's possible because you have privacy while you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
Like it would be really hard to upper deck somebody's microwave, you know what I mean? Like you need privacy.
Right.
Right. Well, plus you also know that you're going to upper deck them. You know, you've got time to plan for this. It's not like the immediate reaction to say, oh, I hate what you just said to me. I'm going to go up and.
Right. So, Scott, it's not just that your former coworker was able to poop in the kitchen, but that he had one in the chamber. That's amazing.
No, he did it. He did. But he also, it was in front of everybody. So all the dishwashers were like, mucho esta aquí. They couldn't believe what they were saying. Right. People were like dropping their eyes, their jaws on the floor. Caramba. So everyone witnessed it, and he's like got off and zipped up and was strutted out of there like he was the Cox Walk, right? And in the beans now was a, you know, whatever. Oh, and so it never got to the consumer.
Yeah, it never went to
because that. Somebody immediately went, oh my gosh, somebody call 911, and everyone was
right,
scambling
put
around.
The whole pot right in the trash.
And all I was thinking,
and it goes in the dumpster, the whole pot.
All I could think of is, sweet, I get to go home early tonight. That's all I can think of.
I have never seen that. I'm going home early.
I don't have to be here any longer tonight. Anyway, where the hell?
Yeah, I don't have to poop in the beans to go home.
Yeah, true that. All right, moving on to speaking of dirty, hairy things. No wonder they call him Dirty Harry is the name of this clip.
No wonder they call him Dirty Harry. Always gets the shit end of the stick.
One more word out of you and you're chopped off at the ankles.
Well, let's split the difference, huh? Give him the night off.
I'm going to, you know, just as a charity moment, I'm going to give that a... Because it had a lot of like, cut you off of the ankle, see? Hey, give the kid a break. Gobba, gobba, gobba.
Yeah.
Cut you off of the ankles. That doesn't even seem very threatening to me.
Well, you couldn't
knees,
walk.
Knees, maybe. Cut you off at the knees, I'd be kind of at ankles? Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
it doesn't seem very
You can't walk very well without your ankles.
Yeah,
is my understanding.
That's like cat's pajamas.
That guy would.
And if you're cutting anything off on my body, cats, I'm upset. So.
Cats,
but it's like, but that's really the lowest point someone can really slice you off. That's the first segmentation in your body that's really, you know, sliceable. So cutting you off at the feet, that's kind of like the first level of anger.
You can take a toe knuckle.
Toe knuckle. I'm cutting you off at the toe knuckle.
I played bass for Toe Knuckle in the '80s. They were great.
It's my joke.
All right, where are we here? Oh, my friends call me Alice. It's short. It's this weird kid that was looking for a dare out in the middle of nowhere, and I captured just that.
My friends call me Alice. I will take a dare.
What was that all about?
Exactly. It had to do with nothing.
No, it was weird.
I don't know if it was an inside joke from '70s or something that we just don't get. I'm assuming it is. I'm assuming maybe he's supposed to be a homosexual that's supposed to be doing something in the park or something. I'm assuming that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's just such a kind of crude reference. And I don't mean crude like, oh, I can't believe that. I just mean it's like it's just a kind of a crappy, stereotypey thing. It's so empty and so like it just seemed weird and out of place to me in this day and age.
Yeah, it felt weird.
Yeah, he also reminded me of the kid from 30 Rock. What's his name? The intern?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the
Kenneth.
Kenneth, yeah. Remind me of Kenneth.
Oh, Kenneth.
See, check him out. You can hear him kind of in his thing. Where is it?
My friends call me Alice.
He just sounds like Kenneth.
I just love that. No, that's just so funny. You've got to keep that one for later, though.
Well, why the? I can understand saying, hey, how are you doing? I'd love a good dare. Okay, that's one thing to say. But the first thing you open with is my friends call me Alice? What does that even mean? Yeah. What does that mean? And where's,
my friends call me Alice. Coffee's the devil's drink.
Good callback.
Don't you know that?
Oh, I love
gosh.
That.
That wasn't only a good callback, but that sounds like something Kenneth would say.
Absolutely.
Oh, that was great.
I really like that, Liz Lemon.
All right. That is a really bad Tracy Morgan. Okay, this is where the bad guy.
I didn't know you were doing Tracy.
I know, that's
I
how bad
I did.
Liz Lemon.
Wow.
Anyway.
Liz Lemon.
Yeah, I love Tracy.
Liam O'Brien does a crazy good. You should hear him. He's great. Anyway, stabbed in the leg moment. This is where the bad guy gets stabbed in the leg by Dirty Harry, and it is ridiculous, the sound that comes out of this guy's mouth. So first you're going to hear a gunshot because it's so close to it, and then you're going to hear him yell from the stabbing. So it's not from the shooting. It's from him getting stabbed in the side of the leg and then lots of paint coming out of it. So here's that.
That is so awesome.
Great. I love that scene.
I was going to say, oh, it's not going to be as good without the visual, but oh, yeah.
It's actually just as good.
But this is my problem.
It sounds like a Wookiee or something, man. I mean,
this is my problem. This is my problem with that guy, is that he's doing this. Let me do it one more time. Hang on.
More time.
That is not a way to yell about anything.
How is that not replace the Wilhelm scream?
Exactly. I mean, the Scorpio scream is our new Wilhelm scream.
All right. Oh, man, I'm giddy about that stupid scream.
That's my new ringtone. I got to have it. Send me that file.
It's all this pooping in the beans. All right. Here's another Dirty Harry moment where he is not feeling too bad about his actions.
What? Where the hell does it say you've got a right to kick down doors, torture suspects, deny medical attention and legal counsel? Where have you been? I mean, you must have heard of the Fourth Amendment. What I'm saying is that man had rights.
Well, I'm all broken up about that man's rights.
See, I can't hear
it. That's great.
You can't hear Sinatra doing that, right?
No.
No.
I can't. I'm all broken up about that. That's Cary Grant. Never mind.
All right.
I don't even know why I'm doing Cary Grant. That's weird.
I love it, though.
Liz Lemon. There we go. I'm all good now.
All broken up about his rights. Doobie, doobie, doobie.
There you go. I didn't know we were going to have voice night on the improv tonight.
I'm sorry to do this to you, but can you play that previous sound clip again? It's just too, amazing that it actually.
You mean this one here? No, not that one.
Yes, so, that's the,
oh, that's the one. All right, hold on, let me do it again.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Oh god.
Okay, where are we now? I don't even know.
I can't deny the fact that I might make that same noise if I were to be stabbed. You know, I'm trying to think of what noise I might make if I was stabbed in the lake. That actually might be.
It might be it. Yeah.
That's like a hoedown awesome. Or something.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right. I'm going to play him. Same guy, same screamer, dude. This is him getting tracked down to the football stadium. And this is where they really ruined it for me. Like, this is where he really got goofy with the sounds and the voice and the whatnot. Mm. And he wants his rights, and here he is.
You tried to kill me! Now, please! No more! I'm hurt! Can't you see? I'm hurt! You shot me! Please, don't! Let me have a doctor! Let me have a doctor! Please, give me a doctor! Don't kill me!
The girl, where is she?
You tried to kill me!
If I tried that, your head would be splattered all over this field. Now, where's the girl?
Yeah.
I want my
own. I said, where's the girl?
I have the right for a life.
Where's the girl?
I have the right for a life. Don't you please?
I have the right for a lawyer.
I love that, man.
I have the
you
right.
Can't tell me that was just not incredible.
I have the right.
It is. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate, too. I mean, it's not. It's a little bit over the top.
It's crap.
A little bit. It's, but it's
funny.
I
admit it, but it's true. I mean, if you've ever really.
Look, the guy had a good look. The guy had a good look.
Cops?
What?
Have you ever watched Cops?
Oh, like the TV show? I love Cops. Cops is therapeutic.
That is exactly the kind of BS crap that you always see somebody freaking out about whenever they're getting arrested.
That's true, but they don't lay there going, yes, about the issues they're talking about, but never laying there going,
no, I've seen them go nutty like that too.
I'm a lawyer.
And freak out and scream yet.
That's almost Michael Jeter playing that role.
Give me a lawyer.
Here's my impression of Cops. Ready? Here's the whole thing. Bad boys, bad boys. You got any needles I should know about? What you gonna do? Done. There's your show. I actually really like Cops. It helps me anytime I'm having a bad day at all.
Yeah.
Watch Cops.
Yeah.
Pff, I'm walking on sunshine.
Yeah, me too, man.
It's amazing. It's like, oh, I'm not like that crack dealer whose wiener's caught in the fence because he tried to run away.
How come everybody was always naked on Cops?
I don't know.
Or wearing a wife beater.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, for two reasons. Both the same, actually. The same reason in both cases. It's comfortable.
It's comfortable. Right.
It's true.
That's all there is to it.
It's breezy.
Mm-hmm.
Angry Warmer acting. Time for Dean Warmer to show his stuff. Check it out.
When are you people gonna stop messing around with this guy? He's gotta be stopped now.
He's got a busload of kids, and I can't take that chance. I gave my word of honor on it, and he will not be molested. And that's a direct order, Callahan!
Well, you can just get yourself another delivery boy.
He gave his word of honor. So
yeah, I thought that was weird. I gave my word of honor. I'm like, what? Shut up.
I pretend in my mind that he says, I gave my wormer of honor. That's what I try to think.
There will be no molesting of the man on the bus.
I did like that too. Like he's like, he's going to molest him. But of course, in our day and age, molesting means something, you know, it actually, we always think of something sexual.
Yeah. But look, I still say though, that even then it was inappropriate terminology in an argument. Like, yeah. Why do you have to be all... It's like, I have given my word of honor that thou shalt not enter the building, you know. It's like, calm down. Just say, you can't touch the guy on the bus. Jeez, yeah. Mayor.
Don't do it.
So uptight. Animal House! All right.
Niedermeyer?
Row your boat.
By the way.
Oh, yes. What?
I got to point out before I forget it. The bad guy here, the one who was just talking in the clip, I have my rights, blah, blah, blah. Scorpio.
Yeah.
He is identical to David Patrick Kelly in The Adventures of Ford Fairlane as Sam the Sleazebag. Mm. It is weird how similar those two completely different actors in completely different times. They're 20 years apart, these movies. Exactly the same.
Do you sense some inspiration there, perhaps? Like the Fairlane movie?
I don't know,
movie?
But If you've seen The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, you know
not
what I'm talking
long,
about.
Not in a long time.
Well, when this guy is squealing around on the ground out there in the football field going, I have the right of a lawyer. That reminds me more of his character on Deep Space Nine than anything. Like his groveling, sort of shrinking, you know, scared of everything kind of thing was way Garrick, whom I loved. Yeah. All right. Row, row, row your boat, damn it.
Sing of him! Row, row, row your boat. What's the matter with you, Mr. King? Row, row, row your boat. Jesuit, I'm sick. Are you sick? What is it? Oh, row, you guys, Joe, your mothers are going to die in Oxford City. I'm going to kill all your mothers. Oh, I'm going to rest you. Row, row, row your boat. Gently down the stream.
It's the worst. It's the worst thing to do to a bunch of kids.
It is not
and
possible.
Don't sing from the beginning. I need you to come in on the second refrain.
It is not possible to sing a row, row, row your boat when somebody has just screamed at you, I'm going to kill all your mothers.
Right. I love that. Possible.
And they're all just going to shut up and go, oh, we better play along, guys. Let's go ahead and sing the song. No, you're going to melt
except
like
that. That only, except for that one kid who did, he did have a meltdown. He kept
punched him, full on decked him, dude. No wonder. You know what? I'll bet it's that scene that got him the death threats. What do you bet?
Yeah,
it might be.
Yeah,
sure enough.
And then, by the way, people are crazy.
Most of that terror, by the way, could have been avoided if that bus driver was a little more savvy with being hijacked.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all you do is say, "I'm a bus inspector." I'm the bus inspector.
Just one slam on the brakes while they're driving, and the kids will be fine.
They even showed the brakes, and I thought that's what she's going to do. I thought she was going to slam on the brakes. Yeah. I couldn't remember, and I was like, "Yep, didn't do it."
She was too busy screaming at that horrible man face that she was blessed with.
Yeah, let's be nice.
I shouldn't
let's be
say
nice.
That. I'm sure she's a lovely woman.
She could have easily worked at a diner, and Jason goes to hell easily.
Oh my gosh, forgot about that lady. Well, you haven't experienced life unless you've had the Duke or however that went. How'd that go?
Anyway. This wasn't the Duke.
You haven't experienced a Chi-Chi's until you've taken a Duke in the beans. That's the phrase.
By the way, is Ruth Maxine Finkelstein.
Nice. Stein. That name fits her appropriately. If you say that name and you can imagine what she looks like.
Yes.
Mrs. Finkelstein.
By the time Nerdtacular comes around, I'm gonna have a T-shirt that says "Beans No Poop." You know, like I'd like a burrito with beans no poop.
I would proudly wear that around.
Clean food only, please. Well, then stay away from the clam chowder.
Exactly. Ew. So the end of this movie has the most famous Dirty Harry quote in the history of Dirty Harry's, right?
Like, yeah, and it was also referenced earlier too.
Yeah, they did it twice, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play.
Which is good.
I'm playing the final one because that was the one with more emphasis. The first one was kind of playful and goofy. Mm-hmm. he was telling that poor black exploitation actor earlier on, but now it's serious. This is right before he chucks his thing, his badge, and right before he kills Yuckster over there. So here's what he says. Check it out.
Scorpio.
I know what you're thinking, Punk. You're thinking, did he fire six shots or only five? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself and all this excitement. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Punk?
Was Punk a... Punk had a different level of emphasis in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, it did.
Because now it just sounds like, old, okay, Grandpa, with your punk talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But here's the fact. I went back and listened to that scene a couple of times. He really did only fire five times. So he must have only had five rounds in the gun.
Maybe he slipped a bullet in while nobody was looking.
or out. Or he could have just twisted the chamber, right?
Right.
Like, but we'll let you watch the movie to figure out whether how many he had.
Yeah. Dear listener, go and rewatch that scene and see how many times during trope phase of that final scene he fires. I didn't pay any attention, but I realize this is a simple thing to do now, but I think at the time it was pretty effective. So it's a callback to the first part of the movie when life was simpler.
Yeah.
And there he had no bullet in the chamber.
Yeah.
So the guy,
which made it funny.
Yeah. The guy gambled and chose, he could have, and it was kind of cool to see him gamble a little bit. And then to hear it again later, you're not really sure. It's like, oh, remember how this went before? And this guy's just crazy enough to grab his gun. It was a nice ending. It was a good ending.
I don't like that he did the same line again. I mean, I feel like he's just gone through this really intense chase, and he's going to say to himself, "Oh, you remember that thing I said, a couple days ago during that bank robbery? I'm going to say it again here, word for word."
Yeah. Maybe he liked it so much he wrote it down. He memorized it.
Ooh, that's good, he said.
It's not like Samuel L. Jackson. You know, it's not like Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction where he's got the thing that he always says.
Right, and he's also a big talker, right? That character is a big talker. And so this guy really isn't. And if anything, I would have liked it more if he had just said something different, but we equally cool.
Yeah. Yes.
I think in 71, it was impactful to do the callback, and now it seems overdone to us.
Yeah,
that's all.
I think it was smart. I think it was, it's obviously well-remembered, so it obviously had its effect.
Yeah.
I think the fact... I mean, sometimes you have to do that. I mean, in filmmaking, I think the director was smart in this way that he went, okay, if we place it here, we get in people's minds and we know what's going on, so that when it comes around again, then there's a greater tension because it's like you know what's going on. You're not lost.
I have a theory about why Clint Eastwood directs everything he's in now. because and he's a great director. I love his
he's
movies.
He's an awesome director.
Some of my favorite movies ever. He whispers in everything, and I'm sure all these directors are like, okay, cut. Clint, dude, seriously, could you freaking speak up?
What? What?
This is as loud as I get. What's the problem?
I've been smoking for a long time, you know.
It was one of my problems with getting clips. Because it'd be like, well, what do you think, Callahan? Great. Okay, let's go. So I had to kind of like, in some clips, I seriously had to pump his voice up separate from everyone else's.
Yeah.
It's wow.
Come on, Clint.
Eastwood actually said that his major move to directing was that he was a bit of a control freak and he just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
He needed to have control over everything, and he felt like he did better work when he did.
Yeah.
So I really like it because he had made some really stinky films just before he started taking control over everything, and it's like ever since he never fails.
Yeah, that's totally true. No talking smack about Firefox though. Flew around on it.
Whatever.
No, you're right. It's a piece of crap. But I love Clint Eastwood. I just want to make that clear before we end this episode. He is the man. So it is time.
And we don't want to piss him off.
No. I mean,
you want to piss him off? You feeling, Mr. Eastwood? We love you.
You were so nice in Space Cowboys. Can you be that way with me? Which I really liked, by the way.
I have rights.
I thought I was going to hate that. It's on streaming. It's pretty good. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun to watch all these old guys dork around. You know what I mean?
I love that movie.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Nothing wrong with that movie. But it's time for this. Time for awards. All right, we're going to give away some awards to this movie. Tonight it wins the Robert Loggia Angry Acting Award. That goes to Dean Wormer. Racist Pig Award. That dude in the break room. Who, by the way, oh, I just realized I didn't play that clip. You guys got to hear this.
Yeah.
Where did it go? Oh, great. It seems to have not. Hold on just a second. Oh, that's super.
While we're doing that, I just want to ask, did they ever explain why he, I mean, Scorpio, wasn't that a weird, what was the meaning behind that? Did they ever really explain that? Did I miss it?
What? Scorpio was, oh, the name?
Well, why was his name Scorpio?
They were comparing, they said he was loosely based on the,
that's what I was thinking.
The Zodiac Killer.
And anybody in San Francisco would have been moved by that name.
That's what I was thinking. They never explained it in the movie other than, really didn't explain it in the movie.
All right, here's the racist thing I forgot to play.
No wonder they call him Dirty Harry.
Oh, wrong one. Hold on. Oh, there it is.
There is one question, Inspector Callahan. Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
Well, that's one thing about our Harry. Doesn't play any favorites. Harry hates everybody. Limeys, Knicks, Hebes, Fat Dagos, Niggers, Honkies, Chinks, you name it.
How's he feel about Mexicans?
Ask him.
Especially Spicks.
Oh, I had to turn your voice up because you're so quiet. All right. back to regularly scheduled program. The Darth Maul Dumbest to Death Award goes to Non. Wait.
Wow. That was awesome.
Gosh dang it.
I don't remember him being in this movie.
Not at all.
That was weird.
The bearded mute from Superman is in this film. No, he's not. I screwed that up. The David Ogden Stier Star Trek connection, of course, the dude what played Scorpio. Chewbacca Sidekick Award, the Mexican dude, Shannon Tweed Skin Award, lots of chances for
the
that.
The Mexican dude was named Chico Gonzalez.
Thank you.
Does it get any more stereotypical than that?
Well, I thought
it actually got more offensive than Mexican dude.
It kind of did. Shannon Tweed Skin Award goes to lots of people, but I got to give it to Hot Mary for just letting those big old.
Oh man, Hot Mary cracked me up. What are we looking at Hot Mary for?
You know Hot Mary.
Like, did you not catch that clip?
Yep. No, I didn't, but I captured it in my brain and I could never let it go.
My brain, right?
And then finally, soundtrack grade. I'm giving it, it's kind of dated. I'd give it like a D.
I did not like the soundtrack.
Wasn't thrilled with the soundtrack. Thought it was okay.
Moments of it were okay.
I might give it a C.
The intro scene where Scorpio's doing his first shooting. Yeah. Pretty good, effective piece music that still felt dated, but it was okay. Like, it had kind of a cool vibe to it. What'd but later on, it just got dumb.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Running Man, or not Running Man. What's the Charlton Heston one we saw? The
one with the apes in it?
No, the one with the zombies in it.
I Am Legend or
Omega Man.
Omega Man. The one with the apes in it. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, it definitely had the 70s funk vibe.
Yeah. Didn't you kind of some of that weird, like when action would happen and they would all, you know, flip out? It was just stupid. So was that what I just did? All right, it's time for the Twitter post. Yeah. Sum it up in 140 characters or less. I'm going to start this week with Brian Dunaway.
Dirty Harry, a must see. That's right. A must see movie for all. I really like this movie. And also be on the lookout for a dude in tan chinos. I don't think I've ever heard anyone reference looking for someone in a tan chinos. Was it really that? I don't know either. Remember that?
No, don't do drugs. Mr. Brian Ibbett, what do you have?
Dirty Harry. Eastwood launches the now overused pattern of a cop that doesn't play by the rules and still feels fresh. Not quite as fresh as the patterns on Eastwood's $29.50 suits.
Ah, yes.
That was a great little factoid.
Yeah. I love when he got shot, and that was a scene.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Taking his
not
going to
cut these pants.
Yeah, y'all take him off.
$29.50.
You can stay and watch. What'd you say?
He had some sweet suits, though, man. Oh,
he did.
I'm whispering.
With his sweater vests. Mm-hmm. What do you call that? That's not called a sweater vest, though. It's called a...
Vest.
Vest.
Tweed. A tweed vest.
I'll just call it a sweater.
Maybe it is a sweater vest.
Call it a sweater vest.
Okay. I'm going to call it the svest. All right. Who's last?
San Francisco.
Here?
It's cold.
Oh, Randy. Is it your turn? No. Yeah, yes. It is your turn.
My Twitter post goes like this. Dirty Harry. the beginning of 40 years so far of movies about one badass guy doing badass things against all odds for the sheer pleasure of badassery. Amen, brother.
Whoa. So what is his most badass role real quick? I'm saying the guy in Unforgiven. What else?
I thought this was pretty good. I got to say, this Unforgiven is, to me, has always been a classic.
Yeah, that guy in Unforgiven, though. Is way, what's his name? Money?
Dude,
something money?
How do you?
He's a badass.
I can't think of anything more badass than... Oh, wait. Let me just think really, really hard here, because he's pretty badass in Gran Torino and Million Dollar... Those kind of movies.
I didn't really care for him in Million Dollar
Until I see... Until I see Good, Bad, and the Ugly, I think I'm going to give it to Dirty Harry.
Okay. Fair enough. Represent.
Oh, I have to go with Unforgiven. God, that movie is so... He is... Bill Money is just...
Yep, Willie Money.
Whew.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
The Duck of Death.
I want to watch it now. Okay. What
that
else?
Girl they pulled out of the well was not 14. I'm just saying.
No. Was she supposed to be?
Yeah.
Oh, please. Yeah. That's stupid. Of course, they're not going to pull a 20. Or
they
14.
Can. Of course, that's what I said, too. I was like, that's so unrealistic. That's not a 14-year-old. They should pull out. I was like, no, they shouldn't pull out a 14-year-old girl. That's not a good idea.
Let's
I see
pull out
the point.
A 28-year-old. Let's drug her first.
Yeah.
Put her in there and then pull her out. No one's the wiser. Good idea. Mm-hmm. Don Siegel. All right. What we learned while you went out at night taking dares from Clint Eastwood and calling yourself Alice. I want to punch the suicide victim, just like Clint.
Why did you want to punch the suicide? Because he was such an A.
Well, he ended up punching him. Remember, just socked him right in the face. Yeah, because
yeah,
he wasn't
the suicide.
A.
Yeah, yeah,
he's a total A. Clint makes plaid with patches on your elbows look good.
Mm.
If you need to track criminals in 1971, all you need is a handful of pins and a corkboard.
Right.
Woo. Naked hippies are distracting.
True. Mm-hmm.
Next time I can't climb a fence, I will blame it on too much linguine. And lastly, hey, Clint, I know you're in a lot of pain, but I'll just go ahead and stick this huge tampon to the side of your neck for a whole third of the film. I love
that. It's like a maxi pad.
That thing was huge.
Neck.
That was great.
Yeah, that was one huge patch. Of course, when Dirty Harry bleeds, he really bleeds.
I guess. That's he right. needed some extra absorbency. So does listener Ank in Ireland, who wrote us, said, hey, guys, I'm playing my way back through random film sacks and listening to Duck, You Sucker. Oh. I'm not sure it's a comedy or not still. Neither are we, so welcome to the club. Anyway, the IRB preceded the IRA and were around until the end of the 19th century. They were more like a proper military or military. Anyway, he wrote that weird. I think he just means... That's what I thought, but it's got an M. Anyway, force and probably wouldn't have explosive experts. Also, if Firefly was made in the UK and canceled after one season, it would only have 6 episodes, so we should all be good for that. Love the show, Ank in Ireland. Well, thank you very much for writing us an email. We really like it.
If Firefly had been made in the UK, there would now be 7 seasons of it that stretched out over 15 years.
That is an incredibly important point, what you just made. That's true. And we would be loving every second of it.
If Doctor Who had been made in the United States, there'd be 120 episodes and everybody would hate it now.
And people would, I mean, how would Firefly sound in Britain? It would be like, I aim to misbehave, love. That kind of thing. Is that how it would sound? That was terrible.
I don't know.
I like it.
Well, good point. But we love our friends in Ireland. Keep those coming on your pot of gold. All right.
Would really like to. Speaking of Doctor Who, I'd love to hear from someone in Wales. That's.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we have Wales. Well, I know we have one.
In fact, we need voice calls to FilmSack from our Welsh listeners.
Love that. We'll play that.
Don't just tell us you're from Wales. Let us hear your voice.
Let's hear your voice. That way, Scott doesn't have to impersonate you.
Don't even just tell us you're in Ireland. Dude, if you're for real, I'll play your stuff too. Also, Scott Fletcher likes to have his quotes played, even if they're not Irish. Got a couple of quotes this time from him. And here's the first one.
But being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off.
See, he doesn't whisper. He really belts it out. And finally, this.
You gotta ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do ya, punk?
Ow.
Amazing. Awesome. Amazing. Awesome. Amazing stuff. Go check out the site, by the way, folks, filmsack.com. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. Twitter.com/filmsack. We are getting close to the big holiday of Christmas. I don't know what our schedule looks like. We'll keep you informed. Follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/filmsack for updates and more about that. Also, leave us reviews on iTunes. We do enjoy that. One other thing, we are up for a podcasting award at podcastawards.com. And what? FilmSack is on there in the film category. If you are so inclined to vote for us, please do. We'd love it.
That would be so awesome.
I have the right of a lawyer.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you next episode, which will be 50. What is this one? Hold on a second. That'll be 57. This is 56. We'll see you on the Heinz 57 episode. Until then, take care.
And chinos.
Begin. And...
It begins.
Well, Tristan sees me eating one. He wants one now.
Man, it's like Oreos. They wrap them in crunchy sounds, but then they also put them in a tray that makes that sound.
I know. It's the worst. It's recycled from noise. It's like they just somehow, somebody somewhere is recycling noise into packaging these days. Weird.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.